I'm Francesca Morgan, and you're listening to Industry Experts, brought to you by Vox Markets. This podcast series features in-depth discussions with leaders and pioneers on their chosen sectors. The power of connectivity is a ubiquitous global trend, touching all facets of all industries. Now, in the automotive industry, cars are becoming more connected, with huge amounts of data being generated every day. So at the core of this, the focus is really on this data. And data remains a critical resource for enabling efficient, protected, and reliable services for every consumer across the globe. So it seems the value of this market really can't be undermined. So today I'm speaking to Richard Barlow. He's the founder of startup Wejo, whose focus lies at the heart of this connected car technology. To date, they've analyzed 78 billion miles of journeys, creating data solutions to unlock this untapped market value every day. Firstly, thank you for taking the time and what I'm sure is a very busy schedule. So we're here to talk about the evolution of car connectivity and car data and monetizing this data. And I think it's a good narrative to have, especially as there's a lot of traction towards building autonomous cars. But really, car data is essentially at the core of this ecosystem. So I think it's essentially it's a good thing to look into. So your company Wejo is a rapidly evolving startup. From what I've read, you gained a Northern Tech Award for fastest growing company of the year, which is how I came across you. And considering the timescale of the company's achievements from starting the company not so long ago, it's really a big achievement. So you're firmly placed within this connected car market, and you're calculating around 78 billion miles of car data in total. So perhaps you can first start by explaining the crux of the company's mission here as essentially a data marketplace and what this really means in this industry.
Yes, we're a mobility enabler. So we look for use cases working with OEMs to find great uses for data. It can be to find a parking space quicker. It can be to navigate congestion easier. It can be to find a cheaper car insurance quote. But ultimately, our mission is to establish a valuable value exchange for drivers, where there's also a benefit to OEMs as well.
And so car data clearly has the potential to enable a certain level of monitoring vehicles that wasn't available before. So could you explain maybe the advantages, but the most valuable advantages of this new access and flow of data?
Yeah, so I mean most manufacturers have been analyzing data internally for years, and there's a broad array of sensors available from the car. So for example, there can be emission data from the car, which is not only useful to motor manufacturers, but also useful to cities and councils who want to analyze emissions in their own cities. The most valuable use cases are around mobility, so are around saving money on insurance, are around driving vehicles on demand, are around finding a parking space quicker, are around navigating our cities quicker.
And in terms of driving forward consumer value, because I guess ultimately the speed of implementation will rely there and them perceiving it as being valuable. What do you think is the best advantage for the consumer?
Well, for the consumer, it is all around mobility. So there's a change in utilization of vehicles already. So car utilization is going up, car ownership is dropping. And that's focused around the asset of a vehicle being utilized more efficiently. So, cars being driven more, but actually the output for the drivers is a better experience. So it's been able to navigate around the city quicker. It's been able to park quicker.
And data also remains a critical resource for enabling efficient, reliable public services. I know you've said that accessing this data can target a certain deficit that is lost by local councils. So in this way, surely it's very multifaceted and mutually beneficial, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And say one of our key use cases is that we do work with cities and councils globally. So, we're working with hundreds of cities and councils on a global basis, not only in the US, but also in Europe as well.
And despite some traction, from what I've read, the monetization and establishment of car data here remains a largely untapped industry. So what do you think is going to drive this value in the next 5-10 years, say, especially in terms of how bigger players will harness the potential?
Well, two things are going to drive it. So volume commitments for motor manufacturers and also better products. We're working with five OEMs already, motor manufacturers, and we're seeing their commitment. The general consensus is that there's going to go from 25 million cars connected last year to like 250 million cars connected within 7 years. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the most manufacturers we're working with that they are now committing a much larger base of their cars to be connected. With volume, therefore, that will drive product. So better products. So whether it's better mobility services, or whether it's better understanding about how vehicles are being treated, it's ultimately now we're getting beyond critical mass, and that's ultimately going to drive the marketplace.
And do you think, I mean, presumably, touching on that, the car data space, in order to be harnessed and utilized most effectively, we'll need to see certain players that are making up the broad but essential components. I'm assuming that the car data area, it must be made up of a lot of components if you think about startups like yourself or the larger tech companies, insurers, regulators. Is this something that you see rapidly evolving now?
Yeah, and it's driven by, if you sort of consider the key sort of countries and continents, the top five motor manufacturers represent the vast majority of new car sales. We're working with the larger car manufacturers in most continents in the world. So, the total sort of market of about 25 million vehicles, we're forecasting to have 14 million of those this year. We are the largest by in terms of volume. Already, and in terms of motor manufacturers we're working with, we're representative of a vast array of drivers. So which helps in terms of working with the companies we're working with to define the products. At the moment we're working with we're aiming to work with 140 companies this year with different sort of products for in different sort of countries in the world. And we expect it to be more like 1,000 different products by next year. So it is driven by volume. It is driven by the motor manufacturers, and which is why the relationship we built with General Motors is so important to us, and why also relationships we're building in Europe with other motor manufacturers we'll be announcing shortly, and also China and the Far East.
Just touching on that, of course there'll be barriers between technology and regulators. And so on. And so, yes, I guess tapping into these partnerships across the globe are pretty essential. You acquired the Silicon Valley startup CarJojo in October. And I guess this move not only signifies the company's acceleration into the market, but also your push to become situated as a global leader in the sector. So can you tell us a little bit about this move into the US market and how does it attribute a new dynamic?
Yeah, so the acquisition of CarJojo was an auto data acquisition. So it was a great new data set. It was a great team of people that joined us as a business unit. So we overnight evolved that business from being a B2C proposition to being a B2B proposition to add to our portfolio of auto data. That was the thought process behind the acquisition, and we're pleased with the acquisition. We've now scaled that team in San Jose, but we've also now opened an office in Austin as well, which is open this month.
There seems to be the general trajectory seems that there are certain numbers that willingness and fluctuating numbers of people who own cars and their willingness to pay, and of course that's going to be higher in countries like the US and Germany and China. So do you have any plans to tap into those markets, or are you just essentially looking at the US for now?
No, we're opening an office in Frankfurt and Paris this year. So we've already committed our European expansion. This year about just under 30% of our vehicle volume will be from Europe.
In line with what I was just saying, these strategic collaborations seem to be very essential for tapping into certain spaces. And your partnership with General Motors also seems to to represent probably the biggest move forward for the company. And as you also stated, it really signifies a statement of intent from one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world, who were, you know, one of the first players in the connected car space in the mid-90s. You know, so with this deal now in full swing, where do you see the biggest value coming from here? You know, it's pushed forward Wejo into being the most valuable startup in the connected car space.
There's a couple of angles we consider. We very much the whole connected car market is a nascent fledgling market at the moment.
Of course,
yeah. We see the research notes. You know, where there seems to be a swing from one research note says this marketplace is worth about $30 billion. There's another one saying it's worth $750 billion. I think the honest answer is that you know, the markets we're working at the moment, we see excess of being worth more than $30 billion. But I don't believe most of the markets that will look in the future are yet tapped. And we're working with OEMs, we're working with tier one providers to identify as to what those markets could be and where the value is. So we're not just working with data leaving the vehicle going to third parties. We're working within the car as well. So working from data to data, which could not only enhance safety for the driver, but could also deliver a better experience.
And it also seems that this positioning as well with GM and all these kind of strategic partnerships that you're implementing, it kind of situates Wejo in a very strong but fairly unorthodox position, in the sense that you're still very much a startup. So you're typically, you know, you're making up what are the small counterparts to the industry, but also this has enabled you to compete with the larger companies because you are in the situation where you can provide the fundamental data analytics. How do you see this positioning in terms of the value chain of the market here?
Yeah, I mean, although Wejo was a startup, even before the General Motors investment, we'd raised in excess of $30 million of investment, and the business was already over 100 people. So we'd already invested in a huge portfolio of products and intellectual property, which is why we've been chosen by a number of OEMs. So you know, we're now year six into this. So yes, we're a startup in as much that we. The first couple of years we were pre-revenue before we started seeing significant revenue last year, but we'd invested heavily in IP, which I imagine is why we were chosen by one of the OEMs for the investment, and why we've been chosen by other OEMs as well, in terms of that we have a broad array of products that we can license, which we do.
And how have you viewed fluctuating investor sentiment in the sector, especially since you started Wejo, and especially as we're now heading towards implementing the rollout of 5G and autonomous cars as well, which I'm sure are wholly connected and dependent on big data?
Yeah, I mean that the overall auto tech sector is buoyant in terms of investment. We are not short of approaches. We're not short of OEM approaches, not short of tier one approaches.
Of course.
With where mobility is going, with some of the some of the great use cases of companies that are coming into IPO around mobility, we are in a very interesting space. I don't think people yet really understand the true value of mobility.
And if
you've got an interesting proposition and you can prove a successful execution, which we have done, then you're an interesting component in this marketplace.
Of course. And what do you think is essential for relaying the true value of, like you said, mobility, to enable consumers to get on board and regulators? Because it's kind of the same argument with rolling out 5G, that it will ultimately depend on the consumer. But first, you need to get these infrastructural technologies down first, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need to build a great value exchange for the driver, and you need to have a great consent model. You know, the driver needs to understand. And very much from the very start of this business, I've always said to OEMs that, you know, you need to have a very transparent approach to what data could be available from the car, and what applications could utilize this data. And if there's a great value exchange to the driver, then the driver will embrace it, and that's what we're finding. And if you address it like that, and you work with the regulators, which we do, then it's a win-win all around. It's great for the OEMs, it's great for the drivers, and the regulators are happy.
In terms of consumers ultimately being secure in the fact that any kind of data taken and exchange of information is on par with customer privacy and protecting that in that sphere, how do you see certain players like yourselves, you know, developing strategies to tackle this?
Yeah, so we've built a regulatory wrapper product where we're representing certain OEMs, where we're working with legislators on a global basis.
Right.
So it's part of our remit. You know, is that there has to be a valuable exchange to drivers, and has to be a very transparent approach to how data is being treated.
Of course.
What's happened in industry around data is important that we're seen as the leader in that, and we're working with OEMs to show that actually this data can be hugely valuable if it's treated well and drivers are respected, which is what we do.
Of course, and also in terms of looking at the former traditional landscape. And then looking ahead to this unique value-driven mobility experience that you're talking about creating. When we look at how the market is developing, where do you see the mobility experience heading in the next 10 years, say?
Well, I mean, the way we see it is that car utilization is going up already, and the whole sort of idea of cars on demand, where no one insurer, credit issue will underwrite all the risks, and there's a platform needed where we can service micro insurance, where we can service consumer credit for cars on an on-demand basis. So any consumer in any parts of the world can walk up to a pool of cars, can be recognized by certain behaviors, and can be priced accordingly for that hour or that 2 hour or that day, 1 day period. And a different profile of risk of consumer will walk up to the vehicle, and there'll be a different array of providers who then service those requirements of the vehicle being driven. That's what's going to drive utilization up of vehicles and car ownership down. And we believe with a platform that will enable that to happen.
Great. And what's next for Wejo now in terms of how this is going to play out?
Well, we're scaling alongside the OEMs. So we're, as OEMs are asking us to be in more and more countries, we're scaling out. As OEMs scale the number of vehicles they're connecting, we're supporting with that. We're being asked to develop platforms by OEMs. So we're looking to maintain our market leading position, and to be the go-to choice for mobility enablement and the digital supply chain of data to OEMs tier ones and tier twos.
And in terms of car data relying on in-car technologies to infrastructural technologies, I don't know how how long it's going to be until we're in the midst of a fully blown out 5G rollout, but how will that affect Wejo and the connected car space, as well as heading towards autonomous cars?
Well, 5G will make a big difference in terms of latency of data, so how immediate the data can be available from the car, but also there's edge-based processing, which is a big consideration for us as well. So I'm sure you've read that an autonomous car can generate 4 terabytes a day of data, and even a 5G network wouldn't be able to. Withstand that sort of flow of data. So we're working with both telcos and also tier one providers around how data comms will evolve over time.
Of course.
With our market leading position and the data we've already collected to date with OEMs, we're in a unique position to be able to advise the industry about when data should or shouldn't be communicated.
Of course.
And the best way to maximize communication network rollouts.
And ultimately establishing this standard for data, I'm assuming that's going to come from regulators and policymakers. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it depends on industry. There's no standardized way of data being transmitted. There's no standardized way of data being structured. So long as there's a third party such as ourselves that can then standardize out to industry, then that's probably the most appropriate way to approach these things.
Wejo seems like they're in a great space, especially considering how quickly you've picked up since starting. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's hugely exciting. I started lobbying OEMs in the beginning of 2014 about what I'd do in the future, and it's been a great accolade of the team I've built. The products we built very early on have now been embraced by so many OEMs, and we've got so many cars on our platform. So hugely exciting for us.
A huge achievement for 5 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So again, thank you for coming on and speaking to us. It's clear that the value and scale of data here remains substantially untapped, but is gaining traction every day more and more. And it's exciting to see Wejo at the forefront of that transition in this space. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much.